Happy birthday, Rog. Happy birthday.
It's 50. Not far off it. Yeah, I do feel old this morning. Yeah,
but you have to talk to us.
That's a pleasure. I don't mind that. That's good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Horse racing on Off The Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
That's right, you are very welcome along to the Cheltenham Show. It is day one of the 2024 festival, and we're going to be with you for the next four mornings here on Off The Ball, looking ahead to the day's racing, going through some of the big storylines and giving you all the tips for the day's racing ahead. Delighted to say that John Duggan and Johnny Ward of Off The Ball's own racing pod will be with us every single morning. Gents, a very good morning to you. John, we might just start with you because as people might be able to gather there, we can get the sights and sounds a little bit of the Cheltenham press room. The excitement building, no doubt, at this stage as we're, what, 3.5 hours away from the first race.
Good morning, Owen. Yes, Cheltenham is Christmas Day for a lot of people. And it's the reason why there's so many people milling around the press room at the moment is because it is lashing rain. And the ground has changed from soft to heavy in places. The cross-country course, which is going to be used tomorrow, is waterlogged in places. There'll be an inspection ahead of the cross-country race tomorrow. And if that doesn't happen tomorrow, it'll be happen on Friday. But what will happen today, Owen, is you'll have seven races. You'll have the champion hurdle at 3:30. You'll have State Man looking to win the champion hurdle for the first time. Was second in the race at Constitution Hill last year. And we got 28 races. We got 18 Irish winners last year. We've William Mullins and 94 winners for the festival, six away from the century. And when we talk about centuries, we talk about the fact that 100 years ago this year, we had the first Cheltenham Gold Cup won by a horse called Red Splash. And around the race course here, they have these boards with all the colours of every single Gold Cup winner. And it's kind of almost apt in a way because Cheltenham really does bring a splash of colour to horse racing and to sport. And if you want to see the colour in life, you're going to see it at Cheltenham this week.
Johnny, on that point about Willie Mullins, is it pretty much from your perspective a matter of course that this is going to happen this week? Is there any challenge in your mind or any uncertainty that the century won't be reached this week?
Yeah, it's very unlikely, Owen. You know, he's the challenge Willie Mullins has, you want to have a kind of a little bet in your head or like a small bet with a mate is, will Willie have more winners than the Irish? It's potentially true that he may have more winners than everyone else put together. There was a one point last week at the 5-day declaration stages that there were only three British trained horses, single figure odds across the seven races today, which is staggering. Willie has three odds on shots running in the only three grade one jumps races tomorrow. This is the thing about the festival, Owen. Basically, they changed it from a 3-day to a 4-day festival. They brought in new races like the Mayor's races, and they're competitive races, but they basically allowed superpowers like Willie Mullins to kind of spread these players around. So it's kind of like picking Salah for one race and Nunes for another. It's that sort of way. That's exactly what he's done in the novice races today and tomorrow. And by and large, the wet weather that JD reflects on there will probably enhance the prospects of the Mullins runners. Generally, they train at home on really deep sand. They generally tend to cope with this type of ground. And it's going to be great week for Willie in general, because his mother Maureen, who passed away recently, is honoured today in the Mayor's Hurdle as well. So that's nice to see. And yeah, he's going to break records this week. It's just probably not a great look for racing that he's so dominant. He's one race tomorrow. He's 5 of the 8 runners.
Before we get into some of the races, John, could I just ask you with regards to the severity of the conditions there? There's no danger of people tearing up the form book, changing how they forecast the day ahead? Is it at that level, or do you generally have this outcome prepared for, this level of rain?
Well, I think that you can get unpredictable results in extremes of ground, whether it's heavy ground or whether it's good to firm ground. So the one thing about Cheltenham is the drainage here is very, very good. You had a day a couple of years ago when Fasal Vega won the bumper, and it was desperate ground, and Patrick Mullins was caked in mud. By the Friday, the going was drying out. You know, it's almost to good. So it's meant to be a dry enough week for the rest of the week. So, but today, we've had a soft ground winter, as it were, in terms of the water table at Cheltenham's been very high. I spoke to Fran Berry, who rode a winner here years ago on Kairouani, and obviously well known as a flat jockey and now retired. And he walked the course yesterday and told me he's very, very soft. add to this rain, which we had 6 millimetres overnight, you're talking a really, really heavy ground. It does bring in horses like Nemi and Lion each way in the champion hurdle into play, who won a heavy ground last time at Wincanton. Iberico Lord in that race against Ape Man, maybe for a place. And also for Gaelic Warrior in the second race. What it does, Owen, it slows the horses down. Because obviously you can't go too crazy in that ground, otherwise you'd just be exhausted. So it does allow horses that maybe not be the best of jumpers to, you know, take their time in a race and then use their stamina if they have the stamina. But it's all about having stamina today, because, you know, you maybe need horses that are better over a longer distance than they're actually going to be running today because of the ground.
Absolutely. I have a piece in the Currency tomorrow I own, and it's just on Cheltenham. And for it, I spoke to Barry Connell, and JD would have been at Cheltenham last year when Barry Connell had his first winner as a trainer, Marie Nationale. And Marie Nationale was ruled out of the Arkle today on the basis of a late kind of a late enough hiccup, not a major issue, but he's quite ground reliant. And I was making the point to Barry yesterday, it was like, this might work out to be a blessing in disguise, because they've had so much rain over the last 12 months. Genuinely, I believe this will be a Cheltenham like no other, whatever rain they get between sort of yesterday and today, because they've had 12 months of rain, and it's not like the good to soft that you get at Cheltenham. As JD mentioned, the water table is very high, and they weren't really forecasting the rain that they've gotten. But as it turns out, if Marie Nationale had rocked up to the Arkle today, there'd be major, major doubts about him because of the ground. And the cross-country track being slower than everywhere else is practically unheard of. The fact that it's possibly going to be called off and delayed till later in the week, that's totally unheard of, and this will be a Cheltenham like no other in that regard.
Okay, let's get stuck into some of the races. It all gets underway at 1:30 as ever. It's the Supreme Novices Hurdle first up. John, Ballyburn was due to run in this race, but the movement of the horse to tomorrow has essentially left this wide open, is what I'm reading.
This is a wide open race, yeah. I mean, I could pick 4 or 5 candidates, so, and I think I could win the Supreme Novices Hurdle. I'll just look at the market here now as we see what's been backed, because there have been definitely moves in certain directions. So when I look at it, Tully Hill is the favourite at 3-1. Money for him this morning. Mystical Power, about a 100-30 shot. Really interesting horse, this Mystical Power, because Annie Power is the mother and Galileo is the father. Annie Power won a champion hurdle at Cheltenham, and Galileo won a derby at Epsom. So the horse's breeding is unbelievable. Mystical Power in the colours of JB McManus. We have Slade Steel, good support for that in the market for Rachel Blackmore. Our Firefox a bit negative in the market. Jack Kennedy, Jericho de Repenay will know the Nicky Henderson horses and the state of their condition when he runs. Then you have Mr. Jiff, a horse that could be anything. And money for it again today. Gerald Jacob rides that. Won at Limerick on its only start in Ireland or the UK. And then you have this good story with Asian Master that Thomas Costello rides. Thomas is an amateur based down in Clare. He's 6'4", and that's unusual for a jockey. So I hope he has a good spin today and gets home in one piece and maybe does better than that, because the horse is talented. But I think it's wide open, Owen, and I don't know what Johnny thinks, but I think the ground, once again, you'll need horses that act in the ground. So, for example, Slade Steel is maybe seen as a 2.5 mile horse, but because it's 2 miles in heavy ground with a stiff finish here at Cheltenham, it might work in his favour.
Johnny, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Asian Master is very, you know, JD notes Asian Master there. Definitely, it's a rare situation where you have such a sort of unheralded jockey. And I think there was a little bit of a story behind Asian Master when he was disqualified from a point win, which... let's just say if he happens to win the Supreme today, I'd say he's namely brought up because of his background as well. And obviously there's a lot of focus on, and this is way before the horse with Willie Mullins, but he was disqualified for the point win. But he's a good horse, and the stamina that this horse has, because he's been quite versatile regarding trip, will definitely be brought into play. This race exemplifies what I was talking about in terms of Willie being able to spread out his horses, because Ballyburn would have been... probably would have been 4-5 or so. He might even be shorter, actually, given the ground here. But they were able to reroute him for the Gallagher race tomorrow, which is over a little bit further on. Tully Hill, who's here, this race will probably suit him. There are some question marks about his ground, about his jumping, rather. And the horse that JD mentioned as well, Slade Steel, I spoke to Darrow Keefe, who rides horses for Henry de Bromley. He's very sweet on him at Limerick Sunday. Mystical Power for me, I was kind of sweet in this horse coming towards the meeting, but I am worried about the ground now. As JD mentioned, Galileo of Annie Power would probably want better grounds. And if you're a person who likes to bet in most of the races at Cheltenham, just keep your powder a little bit drier earlier on, just to see how they get through it. Because if this is a real slog, you can imagine what the other 27 races are going to be like.
Okay, so the advice here is potentially steer clear from the opening race.
I'd advise to have a small stake if you're backing. Also, look to, you know, bookmakers will have, you know, William Hill will do good offers. Bookmakers will do good offers this week in terms of betting each way. It's a long, long week, though, and especially with the ground conditions. This is not a normal Cheltenham. Some horses are going to 100% have no chance on this ground. They're just not going to be able to cope with it. So if you're backing something in the first, I would back something that stays well and win hell in the ground. Otherwise, like, be very, very careful.
It sounds like you'd go along with that, John, unless you have a tip there for us.
No bet in the first race. The great thing about being a punter is the bookmakers have to take the bet. You don't have to bet. So the 28 of these races, sit it out, enjoy it, enjoy the fun of it, see what the ground is like, see the new star in the Supreme Novices division, but you don't have to have a bet. My recommendation is no bet.
2:10, second race of the day is the Arco Chase. Gaelic Warrior is the favourite. You mentioned him on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, John. There are some concerns being raised about Gaelic Warrior, though.
Well, Lester Piggott said that the most important thing about horses is what way they go. So a lot of tracks are clockwise and a lot of tracks are anti-clockwise. So anti-clockwise is left-handed, clockwise, right-handed. Gaelic Warrior has to go, in my view, right-handed. He is a sensational horse when he goes right-handed. He absolutely pulverized some of the horses, like Il Était Temps at Christmas at Limerick, for example. Then he turned up at Leopardstown and unseated. That said, he has run at the festival twice and been second twice left-handed. I do think the going heavy now will suit him because he can take his time. And he is a very, very talented animal. But can you back him with confidence? I'm looking through the market here. He has been backed into 2-1, 7-4 for a horse that needs to go the other way around. Personally, I can't have him at that price, but he is the most talented horse in the race, I suppose, is my point I'm making here.
Would you share those concerns, Johnny, with regards to Gaelic Warrior?
Yeah, I'm just looking on at the course map here. You know, the old course and the new course, but Patrick Mullins would have said this, like, well before he ran at Leopardstown, and he absolutely bombed out at Leopardstown. Now, the point was made that there was more to Leopardstown than him jumping out to the right, and I would tend to agree with that. That's a major concern. You're coming here in the back of an absolute flop of a run. This horse, when he goes right-handed, clockwise, as JD mentioned, I'd say it's borderline unbeatable. And with the ground as it is today, that's massively enhancing his chance. And in the last sort of 20-odd years on, you can now bet in the middle of races as well, where things change dramatically based on how a horse might even, will he or she get to the front, will he or she jump well or not at the first, and how Gaelic Warrior gets around under Paul Townend, his price could collapse in running. But having said that, even if he does things well early in the race, he's still apt to jump right. He's 0-2 at Cheltenham. And this is an important point because it's much more amplified in chase races as well if you have a tendency. And it's a physical thing that a lot of trainers, I'd say nearly all trainers, haven't really figured out why horses do this. He does have headgear on. He might be better with a blindfold on to keep him actually straight. And just not, but we don't know why he does this. If he jumps straight, he's and he comes back to form, he's vastly superior to these. But it'll be a tricky one for Paul Townend. And as I said, he's been twice beaten at Cheltenham, and he was beaten in the Fred Winter off a mark of 127 or something like that, which would be something like £40 below what he's capable of over fences. So for me, the right hand thing is a big concern. I'm not that surprised being back, because the very fact that they're running him here, considering all the negatives, it will suggest that his homework is very good. And you take him out and it's a run-of-the-mill race, he's vastly superior to these, but he could lose 12 to 15 lengths jumping right. That mightn't be enough to win this race.
Wow. So what are you tipping here?
What am I tipping here? I can't even remember now, actually. What am I tipping here? In a very, very tough race, I went with my mate Mozzie, who is definitely inferior to the selection, but he did win here at the the November meet. He'll travel well. I think there might be a bit of a pace burn up front, but Gaelic Warrior in the race, or another couple of horses, going to take him on as well. Facile Vega not running is definitely interesting. Hunter's Yarn's a really notable horse as well. I think he's gonna run a big race. He's kind of a bit of a dark horse, but he was very good the last day at Ferry House when I was there. And Calixios as well for Henry de Bromhead. He's going to have a good week. I'm kind of surprised if he were good enough to win the race, but this race is basically all about what Gaelic Warrior does. It's up to him if he wants to win it or not.
John, what are you thinking?
Well, one of my three charity bets is Calixios at 13-2. Rachel Blackmore for Henry de Bromhead has won over the course and distance before, won the Triumph Hurdle a few years ago. and that is good form, obviously, at the track, and had a taking victory at Nace over 2 miles last time out. Jumps well, I think fits the profile of an Arkell winner in terms of having the back hurdle form, and I feel Calixios is a good each way bet to nothing against Gaelic Warrior, so Calixios is my selection.
10-3 we have the Ultimate Handicap Chase. Willie Mullins here has never actually won a handicap chase at Cheltenham, and in fact this race hasn't had an Irish winner since 2006, Sean.
Yeah, Dunvera was the horse then, Tony Martin. I'm looking through the market now. There's money for two Kimbelli trained horses, Tree Lawn and Chianti Classico. The Goffer is the favourite, but now negative in the market. Jack Kennedy was fourth in the race last year. Meeting of the Water is also drifting, won at Christmas at Leopardstown. We've All Been Caught has got a nice low weight for Sam Twiston Davies. Trainer, his father is Nigel Twiston Davies, and that horse has got a bit of market support. Also market support for Victorino and Eclat de Rire. This is an open race. There's a lot of horses down the bottom in terms of prices. You know, you have a lot of runners in this. What I've gone for, once again, part of the charity selection, is Famous Bridge. This horse is trained by Nicky Richards in the north of England and will be ridden by Sean Quinlan. So Famous Bridge unseated the last time he ran, and that was at Haydock. But he does have a chance off 11 stone. He needs to jump better, but the trip and ground are going to suit him. I think he's going to love this rain. He's an 8-year-old. I think his best days are ahead of him. It's sad that Trevor Hemmings is no longer with us, his owner, who had a load of success in the game with the likes of Grand National winners and Bada Briggs and Many Clouds, and was a great supporter of the game. And they're still running in his colours. Famous Bridge as a 22-1 shot this morning, and I think on the heavy ground he's got a chance. The other one I would give a good mention to is Eclat de Rire. Was a good novice chaser for Henry de Bromhead, won a great 3 Beacle Flation earlier in his career. He's down £10 in the handicap. The ground and triple suit, there's a bit of money. I think he's an interesting each way runner, but my selection for the Ultimate Handicap Chase at 250 is Famous Bridge each way, and they're paying six paces, William Hill.
Johnny, what are you thinking?
Yeah, nice stats from you there, Owen, at the start. You've done your prep here.
It's inherent racing knowledge, Johnny.
It's inherent. It came from your toes up to your head this morning. It's just there. You either have it or you don't, and you have it. That Willie hasn't won a handicap chase. Actually, I was at a preview night for, it felt like 3 days the other day, but I think it was 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, and that stat wasn't mentioned. The Dundera stat that JAD referenced is actually staggering, that Ireland hasn't won this since 2006, because, you know, that just doesn't really happen at Cheltenham anymore. JAD mentioned a couple of horses. Trelawney is named after an old Cornish hero, and Meeting of the Waters is the name of a song about the Vale of Avoca, a well-named horse. And if you give a horse a nice name, I give a horse a name, Dancer from the Dance, before thinking, you know, you've only like 18 characters max in a horse name, and Dancing for the Dance, if you put all the words together, it just fits into the 18 characters. And it was a line from a Yeats poem, how can you tell the dance from the dance? I thought it was quite profound. Yeah, really cool, kind of hip. Of course, the horse turned out to be no good. And if you name a horse that with a nice name, please horse, like, at least move. Dance from the Dance couldn't. Meeting of the Waters can, though, and it's about 7-1 here, maybe best price. And William Hill, you might get slightly bigger odds as the day goes on, and has been weak in the betting, which is interesting because the horse handled the slot quite well at Leopardstown. Was it landed a gamble when I was at Mallow earlier in the season? Was that kind of to December, January, from in Patrick Mullen's colours? And I remember thinking after race was pointed out to me that Patrick had owned a horse that had gone to the Paddy Power at Leopardstown and won, and they did the same thing with this horse, who had really little experience. It was a big challenge for him to go and win a handicap after winning a sort of an ordinary beginner's chase. Danny Mullins rode him really, really well on the day. He was out of trouble, out wide, jumped nicely, travelled powerfully, absolutely tanked through the race, and I actually feel the handicapper could be harder on him. I know, no need telling you this, Owen, because you know this innately, but British handicappers' ratings are different to Irish, so it's kind of like if you sent like a, if you say an inverse, if you sent a, an English football team over to Ireland, you'd give the Irish team like a goal start. And that's kind of what the English handicapper does, because the depth of the British race just isn't as strong as in Ireland, particularly at a lower level. So meeting of the waters will get a different mark to he gets in Britain. And this is a debate for, you know, Cheltenham previews, what horses have gotten good ratings in Britain versus Ireland. And one horse, I'll give you tomorrow, Built by Ballymore, I think has gotten off exceptionally lightly. Meeting of the waters, maybe not exceptionally lightly, but I feel as loads of upside, obviously trained by Willie Mullins, and his mark's not too bad for a horse with so much I think improvement in him, and as JD says, some nice kind of each way terms in the race, but I think he's going to run very well meeting of the waters.
Thank you for explaining that in football terms, Johnny. Not for me, of course, I'm a racing nut and expert, know everything about it, but yeah, for everybody else out there who might not be. 3:30 Champion Hurdle, John, the big one. No Constitution Hill is the big story from this over the last couple of weeks. State Man's race now for anybody who hasn't seen too much of State Man, what makes this horse so bloody good?
Simplicity, I think, lads. He's won 10 of his last 11 races. He just has a very good cruising speed. He jumps very well. He's an uncomplicated ride. He doesn't go off the bridle in terms of he needs to be rousted for pressure or anything like that. Paul Tennant just sits quietly on him and lets him do his job. He's definitely a classic two-miler. He's not a two-and-a-half-mile horse at all. He's a two-mile specialist. He's a course and distance winner, won a county hurdle here, and then was second behind Constitution Hill last year, his only defeat since he fell when he was a young horse. So William Mullins feels he's improved this season. I would probably agree with him. People are trying to find chinks in his armour. I don't really see it. I think it's a poor champion hurdle. I think Lossie Mouth should be running in it. I think it's bad for the game that Lossie Mouth isn't running in it, and she's running in the Mare's hurdle. I just think it's not good for the game. And I would prefer to see no Mare's hurdle and Lossie Mouth in this race. And there's nothing about against the Mare's. I prefer to see less races at Cheltenham and more competitive races. The first two races we spoke about earlier on, the Supreme Office hurdle and the Arkle Chase, are really competitive. They're really exciting. But this race, if State Man turns up in the form he's been in, he should win. In terms of then the market moves, a bit of money for Iberico Lord, Nemi and Lion. You're looking, I suppose, the one good thing about this race, and as Johnny always points out on the pod, is that there's eight runners, and that means you get three paces played. So if you want to back, say, Nemi and Lion at 20-1, it's 4-1 a place, and that's probably a better thing to do than be backing State Man at odds on at what, with William Hill 11-4 on. But State Man should win, and the Mullins camp would be very disappointed if he doesn't.
Johnny, how would you approach this from a betting perspective?
Yeah, like, so generally bookmakers aren't mad on backing. This is what you would call a bad each way race. So you have long odds on favourites, and you have eight runners. So the traditional anachronistic system in terms of each way is, if it's an eight runner race, it's a fifth of the odds, three places. Now, if you have a long odds on shot and a 5-1 second favorite in a race like this, for example, the 5-1 in the place part is a fifth of the odds. Fifth of 5-1 is even money, and the even money to finish in the first three is just mathematically completely wrong, because there isn't any depth to the race, and a horse like that should actually finish second. Funnily enough, though, in this race, there's not anything really bulletproof. You could say, oh, he'll definitely finish in the first three. Irish Point obviously is rerouted from the Stairs hurdle because of the Constitution Hill news, and the irony of this own again is that Constitution Hill has been trained like he were David Clifford, but a David Clifford who can't play for four different teams throughout the year or whatever. David Clifford who can only turn up two or three days a year at Croke Park and will be mollycoddled for the rest of the year. That's all well and good, but if David Clifford gets a cold a week beforehand, he's just not going to be able to play anyway. And this is the second constitution. He gets a minor setback, it seems a minor setback, relatively close to the race. He's running one egg and spoon race all season, so racing fans haven't been able to see him. They saved him for Cheltenham, which is all well and good, but now Cheltenham comes around and he can't even run. So we're left with this kind of, I don't know, the supporting cast, as it were. And State Man, who's a long odds on favourite, was smashed by Constitution Hill last year. Now, it was amazing to see a horse as good as State Man, who, as I've said, would be heralded as one of the greatest hurdlers we've seen in terms of he's a winning machine. He never seems to be under much duress in a race. Yes, he would be heralded as a great, except Constitution Hill is around, and Constitution Hill could be the best jumps horse we've ever had, or certainly since Arkle, or certainly that I've seen. Unfortunately, he's not here, so it's left it to a race that really kind of has a feeling of I'm not all that disappointed if I miss this race, and that's mad to say for Champion Hurdle. These horses have been run against each other by and large. JD makes the point that Lossie Mouth should be running this race 100%. They brought in three mares races, all should be gotten rid of. Should get rid of three or four other races as well and bring it back to a three-day festival, make it what it was. Lossie Mouth will be getting an allowance to take on State Man, and it would be a really fascinating race in terms of betting, in terms of all the hype beforehand, in terms of the Willie Mullins camp would be divided themselves. Can Lossie Mouth beat State Man? Some would say yes, some would say no. She doesn't run against us, so State Man should win.
The likelihood, though, is that if the festival were ever to change, Johnny, we'd go to five rather than three, right?
If it were to change, it's way, way more likely to go to five rather than three. But I feel with the way things are developing in terms of field sizes, and watch out tomorrow, because I think there could be non-runners on top of small fields. With the way things are developing and a really, really light British challenge, as much as commercially Cheltenham seems to be doing well, and I was talking to somebody in the know about this yesterday, and he's making the point that Cheltenham are actually still doing very well kind of in terms of monetizing the festival, even though they've kind of, the crowds might be a little bit down this year, it's so expensive to get in. I think to buy a ticket is like 75 quid starting off tomorrow, give or take. And then the price of a pint and the price of everything is so expensive that Cheltenham are very happy that their marquee product is still selling very well. But there's a temptation to look beyond the cold reality of the money that's coming in and say, is it disenfranchising racing fans in England who, there's a kind of an affordability crisis for a lot of race meetings in Britain. King George crowd way down in recent years. And Cheltenham needs to be careful here. If it goes to 5 days, you're becoming a glorified Galway or a Stowell, in my view.
Okay. Well, I guess the mention of Lossie Mouth there brings us neatly on to the 4:10. It's the Close Brothers Mayor's Hurdle. Lossie Mouth is the favourite. John, some questions about her staying power I'm reading this morning, or is that not a big concern for you?
Well, just on the Champion Hurdle, Nemean Lion is 20-1. And if you're looking for one to get into the first three, Nemean Lion,
okay,
who's better off of the ways of the Barco Lords, might be worth a look for a euro each way. The thing about Lossie Mouth is William Mullins is adamant that Triumph Hurdle horses, which he won last year, improve for longer distances. Like, she was sensational the last time at Cheltenham. She absolutely pulverised Love en Voix. So, but you are taking on trust that an odds-on shot will get another half mile, Lossie Mouth. Because it was 2 miles, this would be just, it would be a walkover, really. But the only question mark is the extra half mile. Like, if she's a good horse, she should win it. But there's no value in looking at it from a betting perspective at odds on. So therefore, you're looking for something else in the race. I was quite sweet in the last week on Gallimard So. And then the horse drifted like a barge to 25-1 last night. And I said, you know what, I'll leave this out of my charity bets. And I'm looking at the screen now, and it's best priced 18-1. The
nice
Pogues Fairy Tale of New York price. And as low as 12-1 in places. Gallimard So.
Must have been tipped up by Owen Sheehan, Jenny.
What's that,
must have
Johnny?
Been, yeah.
It must have been tipped up by Owen Sheehan on his kind of channels.
Yeah, I was on TikTok last night giving tips, so that's what's after happening here.
Well, Owen is Killarney and Listowel's biggest racing man. So
that's it.
So Gallimard So has disappointed recently, right? I was going through the horse's form in the last while. Gallimard So. Excuse me for 1 second. So Gallimard So won at Auteuil last year. She was second in the Triumph Hurdle. She won a grade one in France. She is right there. She's the only horse to ever beat Lossie Mouth. And she needs to overcome a poor run at Punchestown. But I think she's a decent price if she turns up and produces her best at 18-1 each way. Ashro Diamond is drifting. Patrick Mullins rides that. There is money for Love en Voix, who chased Honeysuckle home last year. Lantry Lady, I don't know how good she is, but once again, money for her with Jack Kennedy and Tell Me Something Girl too. But this race revolves around Lossie Mouth and whether Lossie Mouth will get the trip. If she gets the trip, she wins. If she doesn't, you're looking at one of those each-way plays. And with Gallimard So being backed again, maybe once again, tentatively, I'll select that each way.
The barge has drifted out and has now done a U-turn and has decided to come back to shore, I think, is to continue that analogy on Gallimard. So, Johnny, when we look at the front two here in terms of the favourites, Lossie Mouth, as you mentioned, and Ashro Diamond, is it as simple as saying that Lossie Mouth, if you were to pick a couple of weaknesses, or any weakness could be the staying power, whereas if you were looking for one of the advantages for Ashro Diamond, the distance is absolutely not going to be a problem, that you could gain a little bit of hope from backing the outsider here?
Yeah, I wouldn't be back in Astro Diamond. I'd be looking elsewhere if you're taking on the favourite. Lassie Mouths is by Great Pretender. She really has a national hunt pedigree. Like, to be honest, I don't really see anything in the way that she races that suggests she wouldn't stay, but everything has a price zone. Like, you know, you might fancy Kerry to beat Dublin at even money or whatever some day of the week. You might fancy Kerry to beat Louth, but if you're told like that Kerry are 100-1 on, you're like, I'm not going to bet that. And everything has a price. So it's more of a case of if you want to take the odds on a horse that, if there is a slight stamina doubt, and there is because she hasn't done it, that's been amplified now by the ground. I put up Lantry Lady in this race. I'm really disappointed I haven't actually betted because she was 40-1 yesterday, and the ground has turned to an extent now that it really brings her into play. When JD and I did our racing pods ahead of her last run, I opposed her because she, again, it was a price related thing. She'd been put in a hot favourite in the Red Mills trial at Goran, even though she'd only run once. That was a year ago, and she had a tongue tie on for the first time. That day, she beat a mare that has gone on to really good things. That was on her debut, but we didn't see her for a year. And again, on Red Mills Day, on absolutely atrocious ground, pretty much as bad as it gets, she powered clear. And I really felt it was a sign of her general well-being that they came to this race, because as much as Cheltenham is kind of the be-all and end-all, if you're coming with a 40-1 chance who clearly hasn't been that easy to train, like who has a big future on paper, it is a little bit risky. You don't want to over sort of face her. And so coming here, I felt that was a good sign. The rain now, I don't know what her odds are now. Maybe she's gone into like 16s or 20s. She's probably still a bet, but I'm a bit of a sucker. When I miss a price as badly as that, I kind of start sulking and then inevitably watch it win.
Do you have a tip here, Johnny?
Sorry, yeah, so my tip is actually Lantry Lady. Okay. But as I say, well, even listening to me, Owen, I put the horse up yesterday. It was 40-1. It's now 16-1. So I'm very hopeful. But you know me, Owen, price is everything.
Yeah, 16-1.
Okay. 16-1 now, okay. Right, let's move on to the final two races of the day. 450 is a juvenile handicap hurdle. Looking back on this over the past 10 years or so, John, massive prices have won this race, and it seems like it could be a bit of a lottery today.
Well, you know, you talk about blindfolds earlier on. I mean, you might as well be walking around the dark trying to get the winner of this Boodle's Juvenile Handicap Hurdle. And there's so many horses that have untapped potential that we don't really know their stories. Like Milantino, who Johnny put up in the pod last Friday, and I'm very happy that he didn't change his mind around Meet Under the Waters. So I'm interested to see if he still is with Milantino, is the favourite. This horse has been running probably against the best opposition, Burdett Road, Sergino at Cheltenham twice. Nick George, the young trainer of son of Tom George, or Noel George, sorry. Sorry, Mr. George, you know, is a good trainer, and he's trained in France. So look, I think... You know, I'm not trying to be facetious here. Liari as well. Harry Cobden is a really good jockey and rides for Paul Nicholls. This horse is unbeaten since coming to the UK. But you're really like you're guessing with a lot of these horses. They're 4-year-olds. They're juveniles. Dennis Hogan's horse, Bright Legend, sneaked into the race after being second at Nace. And the really interesting thing about the Nace race that Eagle Fang beat Bright Legend in is that the last four of the last five winners of this Boodle's Juvenile Hurdle have run in that race. Eagle Fang beat Bright Legend the last day. So they're both around the 12-1 mark. Latin Verse, there's money for that. Carrier de Blaise was supported yesterday. Look, I didn't put anything for the Charlie bet in this, and I think it's a race to watch. I don't know if Johnny's got a strong view on Milantino, but Milantino does have the best form against the better horses.
Johnny?
Yeah, the ground is key here as well. Milan Tino, I put up a really, really anomalous profile for this race in that he was actually dropped 10 pounds since his last run, which, so on, these are horses that are like they're basically, you know, what would you call them? Minors or under 21s, really. They're 4-year-olds who are just going into the senior world next season of chasing. And, if you're coming into the race as a young horse, you can't be coming in on the back of being dropped 10 pounds. But we have a handicapping system in Britain that is almost like the whim of a sort of an autocrat at times. They kind of just come up with their own things to suit different situations, in my view. And in this instance, in fairness, the horse had been given, I think, a mark based on what he'd achieved in France. And after running behind Sergino and just behind Burdett Road the last day at Cheltenham, he was dramatically dropped 10 pounds. There's a couple of aspects to that which are interesting. Normally, you have this idea of a JP McManus horse maybe and taking the eye going to Cheltenham and like coming through horses and finishing with a bit left. This horse actually made the running and probably went far too hard for much of the race, but he kind of got into a rhythm. And I did like the way he was staying on up the hill. And you're kind of, a lot of the McManus horses, like JP loves winners at Cheltenham. And it's fair to say a lot of the time throughout the year, they've been trained with Cheltenham in mind. So this horse, not only did he make the running the last day, which is very, very unusual for a horse who you want to say is an eye catcher, but then he was dropped 10 pounds taking on all these lightly raced horses. But as I say, he's National Hunt bred. He's by Milan, who's a stare for Aidan O'Brien. Milan is a National Hunt jumps sire. He comes here with no question marks in relation to his handling of the ground, because of that pedigree, he will get through it. A load of these come off the flat. They're kind of like more flashy minors who won't handle the bad ground when it comes to the championship. He will. He'll be banged there. Yeah, and I'm not surprised he's been backed. Really, really strange handicapping by the handicapper. And then without casting aspersions on the handicapper, it was a tough job. It simply would not have happened if this horse were trained by William Mullins.
Right. So the minors and under 21s of horse racing would be worrying indeed if there was anybody over the age of 21 in that race. At the 5:30, the final race of the day is the Maury Mullins National Hunt Challenge Cup. John Duggan, your nap of the day is in this race.
Here, here.
Apple Away. Apple Away was 16-1 earlier in the week, and now I see 5-1 in places. And obviously, a huge amount of confidence behind Lucinda Russell's horse, trained in Scotland. Lucinda Russell trained the Grand National winner, Cara Grambler, last year. She is a mare that won a Grade 1 at Aintree last season, beat Stay Away Fay. So that's really solid hurdles for him. Has been running in races to a competitive level, but not a spectacular level. But I think she's a good jumper. I think every yard of the trip might suit her. I think the ground conditions will suit her. Barry O'Neill has never had a festival winner. The jockey, he's one of the best point-to-point jockeys in Ireland from Wexford. Love to see it happen for him. And I just think Apple Away just strikes me in a small field as a horse that will just keep galloping and jumping and keep going. And I think when I tipped her up at 7-1 this morning, I think that's a good maybe bet to finish in the top two. But I like the profile of the horse. I like the fact that the yard is in form. I'm going to go for Apple Away in this one. Embassy Gardens turned up at the festival last year disappointed, but he has run very well. And obviously Patrick Mullins would love to win the race in memory of his grandmother. Corbett's Cross is a negative in the market. Mr. Van Gogh would be another emotional winner because it was trained by Mark Bradstock, who recently passed away, and won the Devon National by 60 lengths. But Apple Away is my nap of the day, each way at 7-1, to finish in the first two in the 5:30. So, fingers crossed.
Is that also your nap of the day, Johnny?
No, Apple Away is my nap of the day. That's lovely, JD.
It is, very nice.
It is, very alliterative.
It is. If Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week in The Simpsons, where he brings in a big lock, like all I have here is a kettle, basically, because I'm in a hotel here, no lock of the week. But if my lock of the week is the antithesis of the lay of the week, Corbett's Cross is my lay of the day, Owen. I can't have this horse at all. I watched him the last day at Ferry House when he ran in a bit of a messy four-runner race. He was collided into in a ride that complicated matters to some extent in a messy race. He was collided into and basically was knocked over. It mightn't matter today. It might not. But last year, he ran out at the last. I don't think he was getting to beat Stay Away Faye. We now have 6 furlongs further to go here in a decent renewal of the race on really, really testing ground. His stamina for me for a horse with very good two-mile form. He'd have to be extraordinarily talented to stay better than Apple Away than after the day, who JD mentioned very favourably there. And this is a race laden with kind of emotion because I made a mistake earlier when I was on about the Maury Mullins race. Obviously, Maury Mullins is named this race, so we got that aspect, and will he potentially win it? The Bradstock aspect as well. This is a race that hopefully the ground won't be too bad at this age and we'll be able to enjoy it. But Embassy Gardens for me, I see no negatives in this horse, apart from JD maybe saying he didn't just run that well at the race last year. He jumps brilliantly, handles the ground really, really well. I'd be mad keen to oppose Corbett's Cross here.
Right, okay. Yeah, like we've had a comment in, Johnny, asking for your nap of the day. That's from Viper Viper, who's been in touch in the YouTube comments.
With the way the ground is now, I'd be torn between Milantino and Lantry Lady at the prices. I'd be very disappointed if Milantino isn't thereabouts. Lantry Lady is a little bit unknown. As I say, I'm a bit disappointed the price is gone, but it is compensated by the fact that the ground is so bad. I'll go with Milantino each way. That's the bet of the day. The lock, smooth Johnny's lock of the day.
Johnny's locking today. So that's today at 10 to 5 in the penultimate race of today. Johnny is tipping Melantino as his napper today. Anything else, lads? Any other shouts before we let you go? Nothing.
That, not really, lads.
Sound of silence is good.
No, it's, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah. And I suppose, Jenny, work point. Go ahead, Jenny.
Go ahead, John.
Sorry, Johnny, I don't know. Johnny was asking me a question there, I think.
He was just saying to go ahead.
All right, okay. Johnny, I can't see you there. I can't see you on the screen today, so I hope you enjoy Milton Keynes or wherever you are, or Cheltenham or wherever you are in the next 24 hours. So,
thanks, Jenny.
I was at the Queen's Hotel last night, and I kind of had a real grow in me to be there till 3 o'clock this morning, but obviously I couldn't be.
Yeah, I was at the Queen's terminal, I think, in Heathrow Airport. So I'll trade you a Queen for another. But yeah, that was peak radio there. And also, if you want to keep an eye out for later in the week, what do we know? Thursday's decoration just coming in, and with the ground as bad as it is, keep an eye out for horses that'll handle it well. I'm working for a bookmaker this week in Milton Keynes zone, and looking out the window this morning, there was a real kind of grim, Soviet kind of communist era greyness about the place. Where else would you rather be?
Where else would you rather be? Will there be a grey cloud cast over Ireland's chances of securing another Presbury Cup anytime? We'll tell. We're less than 3 hours away from the first race. Just three knowledgeable racing men having a chat here every morning on Off the Ball. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. John, Johnny, the Real Two Johnnies, thank you very much.
Up, Kenny. Up, Kenny.
All the best. That is John Duggan, Johnny Ward. We'll be with you again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. You can follow us at Off the Ball. This has been a Cheltenham pod.
Horse racing on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.